Hello, 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 and welcome to the CPG Scoop. This is the Valentine's edition, I'm calling it, because we are recording today on Valentine's Day, which is a lovely, sweet day to also say thank you to our audience, and thank you to Neha for joining us on the CPG Scoop. I'm Risa Crandall.
And I'm Jennifer Silverberg.
And we are so happy to have our guest today on this lovely, warm day where everybody is positive and thinking about chocolate, but also maybe thinking about what they're going to cook for dinner, what spices, what condiments, right? Got to think about that. So we are so excited to have you with us today. Would love to have you introduce yourself to our audience and give everybody a little bit of understanding of your background, how you came to MISCON, and what your role is.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. Happy Hallmark holiday. Happy Valentine's Day. Risa, to your point, if anyone's cooking at home today, one of the best things is, of course, pasta. And that's even better to make it with either Ragu, Bertolli, or our newest brand, Cucina Moderna. So I have to say that out there, which form of my introduction, I'm with MISCON America. For those that do not know, some of the brands in our portfolio are exactly those, Ragu, Bertolli, Cucina Moderna, and then our flavor enhancer side, which is vinegars, cooking wine, some of the Japanese products, et cetera. So make sure you include those in your cooking tonight. I've been with MISCON about a year and a half now. However, I'm not new to the CPG industry. I've been in CPG for about 30 years almost. First early on years in your traditional brick and mortar as sales and marketing, but in the past roughly 20 now within the Omni e-commerce, connected commerce universe. What made me come to MISCON is I would say the way people, when they ask me my role, I often say I think it's more of a consultant visionary where I've helped several companies now lead within their digital journey. So as I look at different opportunities, that's on top of mind on where the opportunities are. So I can look back and say I contributed to that company's growth in digital space. Hence at MISCON as well.
I love that consultant missionary. What a great job description. That's fun.
Thank you.
So, and what are you cooking at home tonight?
I think so. We haven't decided what yet, but something along those lines.
Well, fantastic. All right. So then that leads into always our favorite starter question, which was, if you had one word to describe the CPG marketing space right now, you can use two if you have to, but what one word would you use?
Yeah, I was looking at that. I think I probably would say two words, because I think what best describes right now is changing dynamics. So call it one word, but two words really. And I truly do think that we're at a crossroad where things are changing rapidly within broader CPG, but more importantly within the marketing space right now. It's really important how we look at the changing economic environment, which really correlates, which you can say it includes inflation, it includes shrinking margins, it includes low economic growth forecasts and willingness to spend. However, I recently just heard, we were in speaking with someone that often online, the consumer isn't so worried about price as they are for convenience. So I think that's important for us to look at as well. But overall, just looking at how the environment has changed. Of course, after COVID, we all realize that it's changed. But I think as we continue to evolve this journey within CPG, it certainly has changed in so many different ways, as I just mentioned.
So particularly around economics and you're saying consumer behavior being online?
Correct.
Any other ways that you see it changing?
I think with artificial intelligence, and I know we can speak, of course, more on that as long as we want to, because that's so on everyone's mind. I think it's how you you really personalize and really target the consumer journey and meet your consumer wherever they are. So it's important to bring them what they're looking for, really meet them where they are within their shopping desire. And often as we see, before, if you look at the funnel, it always talked about the creating awareness at the top and conversion at the bottom, but it almost like where it's collapsed. And how are you creating the awareness and converting at the same time? So those are something that's been top of mind for us, is how do we take our brands, but then broadly as well within the CPG and marketing. That's the big thing, is to say, how do we bring to ensure that, you know, whether it's Gen Zs or any other aspect of demographics, where are the product visible, whether it's availability, whether it's mental, how do you ensure that your product is top of mind? And then how are you bringing the ease of conversion in the same manner?
Absolutely. And it sounds like there's opportunities that this creates, right, for your brands as far as different audiences. And you mentioned convenience. So what do you see as, like, you know, I always like to look at things as glass half full or pasta pot half full. So, or fully full, actually, for that matter. But how do you, what opportunities does it create for the brands in having this insight about these behaviors that maybe unlocked a different audience for you or a different way to go to market than prior?
Yeah, I think thinking along the same lines, it's just ensuring that the product is everywhere. And when I say that, I mean from starting in the outside universe, where we're talking about, say, for example, Google search, paid search. So if someone is typing in dinner, our products are showing up. And then how do we take them from that that search out externally into either our websites or to our retailer's website, where they can convert? Or if they're searching for a recipe in particular, then how do we ensure that our products, we have our recipe strategy, how are we leading them then to make sure that a recipe is shoppable? And it's the ease, lesser the clicks, the faster the conversion, hence the ease and the convenience that we talked about. So we're incorporating a lot of that to ensure that, you know, we're showing up in the right way at every retailer within their .com platform. Likewise, is our websites up to par? We're not a direct-to-consumer company, but how do we ensure that despite of that, that our products are within the recipe and they're very quick to lead them to the retailers to be able to make sure that it's shoppable? We work with several external third-party vendors as well, where we have the customer experience tied to it, whether it's just from where to buy or through recipes, but we have that incorporated. And to answer your next question, we're ensuring how do we show up with external and social platforms for the generations that we currently may or may not have. So, for example, Gen Z, how do we approach? And of course, I think this is no surprise to anyone, is how do you work with TikToks or other social platforms to ensure there's visibility? I think one of the stats that I might have seen is a significant upwards of 50% of the TikTok, call it consumer or ones who are searching on TikTok, are looking for recipe inspirations or dinner inspirations on a daily basis. So if that's where they're looking for, we should be there as well.
Can you give us any examples about things that Ms. Ken is doing? You know, any cool, obviously not what you're about to do, because that would be private, but anything that you have done in the marketplace that you think worked particularly well to harness the potential of this marketplace?
Yeah, I think in generally, I'll do more of a generally speaking as opposed to really sharing what Ms. Khan's doing. But I think a lot of the test and learns when it comes to different creatives on identifying and learning from how the consumer reacts. Is there a creative fatigue where if you have the same creative rolling out over and over, does it become stale after a while where it's really not as exciting? Or to do this different recipe tests with whether it's retailers or partners such as Instacart or other delivery third party or last mile delivery partners. So a lot of those kind of tests and learns is what we're going after. You know, and we also, of course, as any other brand, also depend on what kind of capabilities are, say, Meta or TikTok or other social platforms, Pinterest, any of them are bringing to the table, our retailers included, what do they have in their capability sets, from whether it's full retail media networks, their on-site, off-site, you know, dipping into their first-party data that becomes available to us. So different kind of tests and learn to see what the consumer is reacting to. Are there dynamic creatives where, you know, we're testing two different types of creatives at the same time to see what resonates more and helps us convert more? So there's several different ways, depending on each brand's journey on their own, to determine where they are within their journey and how do they take it to the next level.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And, you know, do you look out there with the work that you're talking about too, with these different audiences and TikTok and Pinterest, and are there other brands out there that maybe, you know, not in the competitive space though? I mean, nobody can touch a Ragu and a Bertolli, but that are doing it right. You know, that you see that are doing some interesting things, whether it's about shoppability or whether it's about looking at those social trends. Has there been a brand, or maybe even coming out of the Super Bowl, where you saw something and you said, ah, that gives me an idea. They're doing something really interesting that we should consider.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's several, right? Rather than naming names, I think if you look at just the CPG industry in general, a lot of them where there is direct to consumer capability is, I think, how do you take that friction out? Where if I see, and I think not, I didn't see necessarily in the Super Bowl, but I think last year it was where, I think there were a couple where there was an ad about the product, but then there was a QR code where you immediately are able to scan and convert. Because often we say, right, or at least as a consumer, I often go through where I see something and then you tend to forget by the time you're getting to the point of conversion. This way, there is no questions, right? That you're looking at a product where it's an ad or however, whether it's a known product or it's a new product, but the QR code, absolutely. And that's something that I think everyone should try, especially easier when you are a direct to consumer, because then it's immediate gratification. Because I think I was going to say Gen Z or other generations, but even us, right? If we want something, we want it now. I think the patience isn't quite there, and rightfully so, because if you're able to convert in that moment, why wait? So I think that is the aha moment, but not this year, more of last year. And how do we incorporate? Because I think that was such a cool idea.
Internally, we call that intention deficit disorder, exactly. That somebody really intends to get this thing, but we all get distracted, right, and we wind up, you know, not getting there. And so, yeah, it's rampant if you don't give somebody at least a way to remember, if not a way to convert, because not everyone's not always ready to convert in that moment, but they're definitely ready to put something out there so that they don't forget. Right. So in this space, you know, the calendar turns over and suddenly we're in 2024, which is, we're definitely seeing fundamentally, you know, or in a world of change, it's fundamentally different from 2023. I can't believe it's already February. I keep saying it just became 2024. Oh my God.
I am glad January's over. It felt like a 60-day month.
It did. And yet it also feels like we just had New Year's. So I'm not entirely certain how to reconcile those two things, but like you said, there's a lot of change coming. There are a lot of question marks about economics and so forth. But we're curious whether how your crystal ball is doing. What are you seeing as the most significant changes going into 2024? What do you expect to see that's different?
Yeah, I think if I were to really condense it quickly, I would probably say that I think CPG industry, grocery within it, will continue to pivot to digital. I think we've seen a massive growth in that space and how each brand or company manufacturer has. But I think there's probably more room to grow. I would also say as the budget conscious consumers continue to look for product and discounts and convenient shopping options, consumers are increasingly discovering and shopping for consumer product goods across all digital channels, include, you know, whether you call it e-commerce, social media, we often hear always, right, TikTok made me buy it. So I think that will continue to grow. So as we look at our journey, you know, we look at how are we ready, or any CPG brand is ready, because we often say, you know, if we continue to breathe the human-led data-fueled decisions, and how do we then direct the business to lead within that space? Are we able to reimagine, grow, and then endlessly, I guess engineering is what comes to mind, effortlessly for each brand? That to me is really where the brand should pivot and think through within their own space and where they are. Is, you know, are you utilizing the data correctly to help analyze where you are and where you need to take it for that particular retailer or that particular consumer, but more importantly, for the brand in general?
It's fascinating. It'll be so interesting to watch how those things shift around. One of the answers that we get to that fairly frequently. And I know one of the questions that Risa and I get asked when people ask, what are you hearing about, is about what about the changing role, if any, with the brand and the retailers and that partnership? What are you anticipate, because there've been change in from that regard in 2023. What do you expect to see in 2024?
I actually, and now we're speaking, I'm speaking more for personal. I think our relationship with retailers has been stronger, actually. I think there's been a lot of collaboration from both us, and I think retailers have also come forward to say, you know, they need that partnership just as much. So we've strengthen in that space. I think our discussions and collaborations have been positive. A lot of opportunities have come out of it together. So if, you know, if that would be my coaching to say, if there's brands where it feels like there's still friction, I don't think there is. I think there's more collaboration. So to use that for obviously brand's advantage, but more importantly, for the collective growth for retailer and the brand as well.
Yeah, we're hearing that as well, because, you know, retail media is media. And so brands that participate only strengthen the relationships across all the way that we communicate, but also with our retail partners. So that's good to hear that you're feeling that positive.
We are. And I think we're definitely, and I know a lot of the brands do this, where there's whatever form of media mix measurements that that particular brand's doing. I think if you take the facts to the retailers or last mile partners, and share what you're seeing and how they can support your endeavors within that space. And obviously, to your point, it's media, and you know, it's not like the budgets are getting any bigger. So if it's finite dollars and you're willing to spend it with the retailer, what's the best place to spend it? And having those very deliberate and transparent conversations can only be in your favor as opposed to not.
Yeah, I think it also brings together, you know, brand and commerce more intertwined than ever before. And I always say that I don't really believe there is a funnel, because the consumer doesn't know anything about these marketing terms, right? Just like you said, if they're ready to activate on something, they want to buy something, they want to be aware, they want to see a new TikTok recipe, they're doing it and they're buying. They don't know about this whole, you know, marketing matrix that we've all created over the years. But coming together with brand and commerce and thinking about retail media as media is closing that gap up. Do you agree?
Absolutely agree. And I think that's what I was referring to earlier, whether to your point, there is no funnel anymore. So when you're creating the awareness, making sure that it's converting at the same time, that's what I was referring to as well, because to your, you know, exactly what you're saying, the consumer doesn't know that this TV ad is truly just to tell me about the product versus, you know, now that then I go onto social media or then I go to website. They don't know that difference or the journey in that sense. So absolutely, the easier we can do, and it's, again, instant gratification in that moment. When you have the audience, when you have the attention, if you're not converting, then you're missing the opportunity.
I'm so excited about what happened the other day. I was on a panel discussion with one of our partners, and she accidentally said tunnel instead of funnel. And I was like, actually, that's perfect.
It's perfect,
because it's not a funnel. And in the, or at any step in that funnel, there ought to be a tunnel to let somebody actually take an action. I want to play with that and create something with that. But I just thought it was one of the best slips I'd ever heard.
That is true. Yes.
I love that. I have not heard that one before, but tunnel, not funnel. Love
yes.
It.
Yes. We're going to write that together, Risa. I think we can get Neha to help to work on it with us.
Gladly.
Totally. I've been saying this for a long time because I never really understood the, like, why we got ourselves into this funnel conversation, but it just was a traditional way of, you know, thinking, and now it has changed. So let's go in that tunnel and make it like a super highway, right? Like, let's go. And that's how the consumer behaves, right? The consumer moves quickly. Like you said, that instant gratification, exactly what you said, Neha. So, you know, marketing to respond to the way consumers behave, just like as you started off, is exactly what we need to be doing. And if we can visually change that representation from this, which people on the podcast can't see me doing the upside down funnel, but think of it as a tunnel that is moving very quickly. Oh, like there's an F1 tunnel in Vegas. Let's think about that. Like, right, like how fast can we go? Right. That would be a wonderful paradigm shift.
It is, as long as it's a very well lit tunnel versus,
yeah, well,
you know,
yes,
you think tunnel,
yes,
you feel very, sure, vision, tunnel vision, very dark, narrow, straight. So as long as it's not that, then we're good.
Should be, yep, a wormhole tunnel that you're just in one place and suddenly you're there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we love to, you know, have our guests also, you know, we started the CPG Scoop in a response to having less cups of tea and less coffees and lunches and salads that we used to do, because we, some of the more business related, but also other conversations kind of, now we're in 30 minute meetings every, you know, every half hour. And so there's no time to even ask your colleagues, like, how you doing? Or do you like my Valentine sweater? So we started the Scoop in response to that. And that's been working really well as far as, you know, learning and inspiration. But we also like to ask our guests a little bit about you and what maybe, you know, you're doing to keep yourself recharged and healthy and connected to people on your personal life, which of course helps you in your professional life. But what is filling you up and giving you that positivity so that every day can be as best it can be?
Yeah, I think in personal space, we love traveling. My husband and I, we love traveling the world. We've done quite a bit of it. And that's the intention to continue and move forward. And I think it personal, by even though there are personal trips that fill our bucket, but, you know, so much that we learn and the international cultures and people and the way they live their lives. But it also helps me professionally, because I think I get to see how other international markets market or show the products. I mean, we were recently in December in Bali, Kuala Lumpur, and Singapore, and just the difference in how the signage and digital out of home, or one of our Japanese product, we've worked hard on how we visualize the product and how do we showcase it to the consumer. And we were in a lounge in the airport, and it actually laid it out exactly how we had envisioned it, where there was broth and additives, and then there was a signage on how to make that soup. So I think that's how I really feel that the professional and the personal comes together for me in my space anyways, because you get to see what, I think you asked earlier the question on some of the brands who might be doing best in US. But I do think that US may be in so many ways behind than some of the European or other international Asian markets, because especially this time around, a lot of what I saw on how the brands show up and advertise in so many different ways was very nourishing, and some things that I was able to bring back in my mind to say, are we able to do that with our brands in the United States? There's some limitations, some not, but I think that's personally for me is very important. But yeah, travel just teaches us so much. So personal level, that's what we love doing.
That's great. Traveling is so rewarding, and it does allow us to think of things differently, right? And open up our minds and stretch our minds. I love to travel too. Yeah. And every trip is a gift.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, thank you for taking your time today and filling up our cup with all of this information and new thoughts as well. So truly appreciated, particularly on a Valentine's Day, which I'm going to go on record here. Her husband sent her flowers.
Yes.
So high five, right, to that husband.
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I'll be making tonight heart-shaped ravioli with my ragu and my Bertoli. So we're set.
Awesome.
There you go. There you go. You do the cutest stuff. You're so good with the food.
I love the theme. Like, I'm good about, like, a theme gives me some different direction of trying something new that I've never tried before. I've never made homemade ravioli before. So I did.
Yeah.
And it came out pretty good. So,
well, share the recipe, Risa. We would love it. And definitely try it with Cucina Moderna as well. I think you'd love it. It's great sauce.
Perfect. Well, we're so happy we had you here, especially on this Valentine's Day. It's a lovely day to connect with people in our industry and get different thoughts and different inspiration to give us a little extra spring in our step when we, or maybe we're not stepping as much, we're on Zoom, but to give us a little spring on our step in the work we do and in just invigorating ourselves. So thank you so much for joining us. We're really, really appreciative to have the time and just hear all your wisdom and all your great ideas. So thank you
for having me. It's always been a pleasure to speak to luminaries like you and so many others. So thanks for thinking of me and having me on the podcast.
Thanks so much. And thanks everyone for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you on the next Scoop.